95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm Kathy Romano. Before we get to today's guest, I just wanted to tell you about this really cool thing I did. So I tried something new this week. We had a little relaxing girls' evening and we went to a salt cave. I vacation in Montauk and they have a salt cave there and I saw the signs for it, but I never really thought about doing it. I know that there are a few in this area. A friend of mine told me about this new salt cave that opened in Doylestown, so we decided to give it a try. I went with two friends. We walked into this very small, modern, but earthy-feeling spa. The room was filled with everything salt. I mean, from salt products to actual salt on the floor. Anything you can think of was salt. We got checked in and we were immediately taken through this narrow hallway into the salt caves. The walls were salt. The floor was a bed of pink salt. And then the air was filled with salt. There was actually a machine pumping salt into the air. I went because it was something new to try with my girlfriends. I thought it would be fun. It was a way for us to kind of get together. We went out and had dinner and drinks afterwards, but it was fun and relaxing. But apparently, there are a number of holistic health benefits from salt therapy. The salt cave claims to help with a long list of issues, including asthma, seasonal allergies, snoring and sleep disorders, stress, depression, and a bunch more. There's a whole list. So we were in lounge chairs in the salt cave for about 45 minutes. You can just sit there, but we added reflexology to our treatment. So we were receiving a foot massage while breathing in the air that the salt vapor machine was pumping into the room. The 45 minutes went so quick. We thought it was going to be a long time, but it really went very fast. The two friends that I went with, they kind of just laid there and relaxed. But of course, I wake up at 4:15 every morning, so I fell asleep. But it was still great. I really enjoyed it. It was definitely relaxing. You can actually get memberships at this place, but if it was closer to my house, I would probably get a membership. This one's a little bit too far away, so it's not something that I can do regularly, but it was definitely a fun girls' night. So if you're into that type of thing and maybe trying something new, try it out. Like I said, there's a number of salt caves in the area. So look it up online and see if maybe it's something you'd be into.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest is a mother of nine, runs two local daycares, and founded a nonprofit organization. As a young mother, she was determined to break the cycle of poverty and not have the struggles her mother did. Cora Reed and her husband Fred run these two local daycares that promise to deliver five-star care on a one-star budget. The couple uses the earnings from the daycares to run Reed's Refuge Center, a nonprofit that offers free after-school arts programs in Northeast Wilmington. Please welcome Cora Reed to Her Story. Hi, Cora.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So, great. Nine children?
Yes, nine.
Are you finished?
Yes, I am finished.
Okay, all right. What are the ages?
Well, our oldest is 24 and our youngest is nine.
You're out of the baby stage.
Yes, yes, thank God.
I read an article about you and your husband, Fred, and when you first met. He was a lead singer in an R&B band.
Yes.
And there was a night where he invited all the ladies in the audience up on stage, and you were not happy with that.
No, I wasn't, because he invited me. And then how are you going to invite all the ladies up there? And then it would be one lady to come in her cat suit. She has this real tight suit on, and he's dancing and pumping on her. I'm like, what the world? I did not like that. That day, I bust into his dressing room, and everything just, we just fell in love at that moment.
He liked your attitude.
Yes, he did.
You put him in his place.
Yes, yes, I did.
All right, so tell me about the venture then that you guys went on. So you opened these two local daycares. That's where it started. Tell me about those.
Yes, actually, I had a daycare in our home. We had started in my mom's house, and then we went from there to our own house. At that point, we moved, and we had another daycare center in our home in Newcastle. And we found out we had carbon monoxide poisoning in a home. The property had to be condemned. So that day, we had to find a place for our six children and me and my husband. One thing that I admired about him is that he didn't care. We was not going to separate. If we had to sleep in a car, we was going to do it together. My mom, she did say that we could live with her, but we ended up moving in Riverside with my grandmother back where my husband was actually raised at. It was a lot different for our children because our children was exposed to a lot of things. We sent them to summer school where one of our son's head was put in a toilet. Our children witnessed a stabbing. There, they would hang their clothes on a clothesline outside their house in Riverside. It's like out back. Everybody would hang their clothes up on a clothesline.
And then there was a stabbing and the blood ended up on your clothes.
So the lady was stabbing our boyfriend next door to my grandmother's house. and ended up wrapped up into our clothes.
Oh my God.
So, you know, and we had to try to get the kids and get them in the house. And it was a lot, you know, they seen a whole lot over in that area. So it was a must that we got out.
How did you get out?
Whew. It was a miracle. All I can say, it was a miracle. He still stayed on his job. And I started working at Bethany Baptist Christian Church. And we just took everything that we made to try to clean up our credit. And we wanted to buy our home. So we bought our first home in Newark. And we began to open up a home daycare in Newark. So in the process of opening up that home daycare, we realized our kids never had their own toys. They always had to share everything.
Because you know, had the daycare in the house.
In the house. So it was important for us to, you know, get out of the house. We wanted to get out of the house. So we just was riding around, and we seen one daycare, and it was a little small daycare, and we checked on it. But when we walked in, it was like, in this building, it was kind of like mold and stuff everywhere. So I was like, nah. We ended up going around a corner, and it was a school. It was the old Dappy school. So we were like, okay, we're going to try for this. We didn't know how we was going to do it. We didn't have the money. We didn't know what we were going to do. So we just said, you know what? We were going to believe and we were going to do it. We called the people. We put together a little business plan. They wanted to meet us. And when we came in there and we sat down, both of them was looking at us as actual owners of the building. And they said they wanted to take a chance on us. And they actually gave the building to us for 3 months for free.
And just to give you a chance.
Yes, they gave us a chance. And in the process of them giving us a chance, we had applied for a bank loan. And my husband was driving a 495 in his heart. You know, he has a heart of gold. And it was a man out there and it was cold. He seen this man walking on 495. And I was trying to call him. At the same time, he picks this man up. He backs up on 495, which is the most dangerous thing to ever do. And he picks this man up. The man got in the car with him and he took the man to the nearest gas station. Fred gave the man money in his pocket. And the man turned around and looked at him and said, "May God bless you 10,000 fold. At the same time, I'm getting a call from a bank. And the bank said, "Well, you only asked for 50,000, but I want to give you 10 more thousand for what you're trying to do." And I'm like, "You want to give me 10 more thousand?" Now, it was so crazy because the man just said to him, "May God bless him 10,000 fold." And then the same time,
what?
We get a call and they gave us 10 more thousand dollars
than what you were asking
than
for.
Than what I was asking for. And Fred's on the phone screaming, telling me, and I'm on the phone trying to scream and tell him because this man disappeared. We'd never seen him anymore.
It was the only time you ever saw him.
He just disappeared. Fred didn't know where he went. Fred's looking for him. He was excited because he just the feeling of blessing someone. And then for him to turn around and say that, and then he can't find the man. And he's like, "Oh my God." So he's trying to tell me this. And I'm trying to tell him that we got a call and they're saying $10,000 more than what we asked for. We knew that that moment it was a blessing, but it was a blessing in blessing others. And that was the key to the whole thing. It was a blessing to bless others. So Reed's Refuge, the daycare center was just, I love children. But when I work for two different centers, I work for Bethany Baptist and I also work for the Bank of America's Child Care Center. And the Bank of America's Child Care Center was so nice. It was just, everything was just in its place. It was a beautiful atmosphere. The children were learning. And I just desired that for our children in the urban communities. Because I realized only the rich people could afford this. But in our facility, I wanted to create a place that is a 5-star facility, that they can get the same care, that when they walk out the door, that they can know that we love their children. We treat them like we love them, like they're our own.
So what those other people were getting at Bank of America, you wanted to offer that, but people can't pay those prices.
Exactly.
Were you charging them less then?
Our facility that we have now is 98% POC. POC is called purchase of care. And what that is, it's pretty much government assistance. But I felt like, I know we're at the time we're only getting like 65% market value, but I still want to give these children 5-star quality care. So everything that we have, we put it into this daycare centers because we really want the quality care for our children in the urban communities. We want our children to have a chance.
So you say it's a 5-star daycare on a 1-star budget.
Exactly.
People drop their kids off at daycare. People that have to go to work or people that are going to work every day, they drop their kids off at daycare and that's that. They're relying on you to make sure that their kids are taken care of and taken care of well.
Yes.
So the fact that you're doing that, I mean, you hear all of these stories about workers at daycares and things captured on video. There was one recently where a worker pushed a little girl down a flight of stairs.
I can say that, you know, you try to screen everybody that you get. You don't know who you're hiring until they actually get into the facility. So it is important that you monitor. It is important that you keep cameras. It is important that someone's always watching, checking around, checking paperwork.
Are you guys still in the daycares?
Yes, we are. We're there. Me and Fred, we come in maybe 7 o'clock and most of the time we don't get home until maybe 9, 10 o'clock at night every night.
So tell me how running the 2 local daycares led you to Reed's Refuge Center.
At one point we realized that the children come with us from 6 weeks to 12 years old and we have our own children. So in those age ranges, but now they're becoming teenagers. And we realized that we needed a place for our teenagers to go. So we created a place that our own children can get involved because we understood the struggles. We understood the struggles of the parents trying to go home after you worked 8, 9 hours. You're trying to go home. You're trying to do homework, trying to prepare a meal for these children. We realized that it was a struggle. So me and Fred, we would sit down and we was thinking of ways that we can just bring the whole family, include everything. So what we did was my husband, he's into music. I came upstairs and he had been cut off. Hole in the wall. We're at Reed's Refuge now. I go upstairs at the facility, and at the time we didn't really know what we were doing with it. We just had the space, but we didn't know what we were doing with it. So Fred cuts a hole in the wall, and I'm wondering why all the men was trying to keep me out of the facility. So I'm like, open up the door. What are you guys doing? I go in there. Fred done cut a great big hole in the wall, and I'm like, Fred, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a studio. He said, because, you know, music is the key. And that's going to be our drawing ticket for our teenagers, you know, music. And he started just telling me his dream about bringing the kids in and started telling me how he wanted to start recording the children, allowing them to write songs, but all the lyrics had to be clean lyrics. He was not going to accept any violence, no cussing, that kind of stuff. He wasn't going to accept it. So next thing you know, we ended up with a dance studio. Then we have Fred just came in and now he makes t-shirts. I mean, just so many different things. He just started, you know, all these different ideas that started coming to him and we start bringing it to light in Reed's Refuge Center.
So you bring these children in and they can get involved in music, dance, graphic arts, whatever it is. This is what they're doing after school?
Yes.
And also, and is it free to them?
Yes, it is. Also, we have a program called STREAM. We took STEM and we added the reading component and we also added the arts, also added engineering, because not only do they come in and get the academics, they also are allowed to come in and get on the equipment. We have state-of-the-art equipment.
It's hands-on.
Yes. They can come in and they can make beats. They can also start creating their songs right in the studio.
Are you helping them with their homework? Are they doing their homework at the center and then getting involved in this stuff?
Yes, yes, yes. That's a must. They have to be a part of the homework program. They have to be. Not only that, we also make sure that they get dinner at night. So
they're eating there too?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And do they have to maintain a certain grade point average in school?
No, our goal is to help them with their academics. So if they are struggling, our goal is to provide them the extra help that they might need to get, you know, where they need to go.
And this is, I would imagine, keeping them off of the streets.
Yes.
Out of trouble, away from violence and drugs and gangs and things like that.
Yes.
I mean, are you seeing people then leave your center and go on to have successful careers?
Oh, yes. Actually, we had one guy, Larry Scott. He's now touring in London. And we've had Larry pretty much working with us since he was about 16, 17. And then we have also Parker. He's in New York and he's doing well.
I mean, that's so nice. And I hope you guys know the impact that you had on their lives to help them stay clean and stay out of trouble. Yes. And do something good.
Yes.
We talked earlier before we went on the air about your mother and breaking the cycle of poverty and how you were determined as a young woman to not have to struggle the way your mother did with kids and food and all the struggles of living in poverty. How do you break the cycle?
I would say, one, we have to believe in ourselves. My mom was a great mother. She was a great woman. She took care of us the best way she could. One of the things of watching some of the struggles and watching her go through, it made me want more. It made me not only want more for myself, but it also made me want more for her, because I realized that if I didn't get her out, she would stay there. So I knew that this cycle, it was going to be a tough thing to break, but I knew that we could by fighting and continuing to go after what I wanted and what I dreamed. And that was to have a 5-star facility. That was to make sure that, you know, no matter what, I was going to get up and not rely on just welfare and low income housing, because at that point, I can say that that's what cripples us. When you get low income housing, you start believing that, wow, I can only pay $200 a month, and you start settling with that. You know, why am I going to go and pay $1,000 when I'm good with paying $200 a month, but not realizing that I'm being crippled? At that point, I just would fight, you know, no matter what. And not only did I get, we got, I can't leave my husband out. We got ourselves out. And not only did we get out, but we was able to bring my mother out as well.
So what keeps you going? What keeps you doing this, running the daycares and the Reed's Refuge Center?
Just the impact that I have on the community, the impact that we have on the families, the look that I get when the children turn around and they say to me, they love me. All I can say is, to me, that's the reward, just to be able to help somebody. It's not about me. It's not about Fred, but it's about helping someone else. And if everybody get that, I guarantee you the world will be a better place.
What are some of the most impactful programs that you run out of the center?
The STREAM program, which is the science, the technology, reading, engineering, arts, and math. I believe that that's one of the most impactful programs, but it's a hard one because I can't really say which one I think is really the most. I think they all are. We have a teen program where we sit down and we talk to the teens at night. We'll talk about their day, and they express to me their concerns, why they got angry with a teacher, why they were angry with their parents. They'll express that, and then we'll talk about ways that we can change that. Another thing that we do, it's a youth against violence, where we actually, we've created our own talk show. We did something on anger, anxiety, and depression, and they were able to express some of their feelings and their emotions that they were having. So to me, it's important to know what they're feeling. Us as adults, we're always talking. So we need to hear from them. We need to hear, what do you need? What do you want? So taking the time and just listening, I think that that's what's important when it comes to our youth against violence. Also, every Friday, me and Fred take the children to the dentist. We have a partnership with Christiana Hospital. We also monitor that they go back. So after we get all their cavities fixed, we all go back every 6 months and make sure that their teeth are cleaned.
For their routine checkup.
Yes, we're making sure that. We started this in October. We've taken about 36 children to the dentist, and out of the 36, I believe maybe 6 didn't have cavities.
This is like full service. You
yes.
guys do everything.
Yes. Only thing we don't do is bath them. That's it.
I got to go home and take a shower.
That's it.
I mean, you're feeding them. You're taking them to doctor's appointments.
Yes.
You're giving them this amazing opportunity to learn something in the arts, the sciences, mathematics, whatever it is. It's
yes.
really amazing. If somebody wants to get involved with Reed's Refuge Center, how do they do that?
They can go to our website, www.reedsrefugecenter.org. I think we're all at a point now where we're crying for the community to come out and help and support. But our ultimate goal is to have Reed's Refuge in every city.
Do you accept donations?
Yes, we do. If you go to that website, you can donate to us, or your presence is really appreciated.
If you could give people listening today one bit of advice, anything, what would you tell them?
My advice would be that it's not about us. It's about helping someone else. And if we all can get that, I think the world would be a better place. You know, it's not about self. It's about helping somebody else.
That's excellent advice. Cora, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to find out more information about Cora, her husband Fred, or the Reeds Refuge Center, you can go to reedsrefugecenter.org. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.